on Buckets of Books, and we'll be talking about plays and reading them and plays we've read recently.
I think that we've talked about plays a little bit before and both kind of said that we don't read them a ton, and sometimes you kind of feel what's missing in a play because it's not really how it's supposed to be presented. So I think that that's true, but I really enjoyed reading a play this week, even though it wasn't my very favorite play. But it was really nice to break up all the longer novels I've been reading and do something light that I could just kind of finish in a day and just read because I wanted to, not out of obligation. So that was Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams. Have you read it or any of him?
I know about it. I haven't read it all the way through.
Yeah, he's, you know, one of the most iconic playwrights in America. So I felt like I should because I had never read any either. There were things that I liked about it, but I thought the whole thing was a bit overwrought, from the monologues to the stage direction and just the whole sort of production. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's an interesting choice if you're trying to break away from, like, older, deep novels.
Yeah, I think
like this still fits in that classical genre.
Right. I just read two long novels and have another long one that I want to bring on vacation with me, so I just thought I should read something kind of quick in between. So the narrator's voice, I think, just didn't really strike me in a way that I like. He is kind of sees himself as a poet and goes on these monologues about middle-class people who are imprisoned in city apartments, and maybe I was just kind of offended by that as a person who lives in a city apartment and loves it. But also just it felt like all of the production notes were so much. There were all these very specific lighting cues and music and the use of a projector, and obviously I don't know what it's like to see the play. Maybe it's that vision all comes together really seamlessly when you're actually in the room, but it felt like a lot to me, a lot that was not necessary. Like the projection had, you know, a few images or a few lines of text projected on there, which I think can be an impactful thing in other plays that I've seen, but it felt in this case kind of like it was just stating the obvious. But I don't know what it was actually like, but it wasn't my favorite, but I liked reading it.
I, until recently, I wasn't, like, opposed to reading plays. It's just I never would choose them over, like, a classic long-form novel. And then I think, like, more recently when in my theater classes at school, I've, like, actually gone into, like, analyzing plays, I've come to, like, enjoy reading them more just because I don't just see it as, like, a script, but it's, you know, a play in and of itself. But in class, we just started reading Angels in America, and I'm loving it, and I feel like it's like the opposite of what you just described, where there's like a brief production note in the beginning and then nothing else the rest of the time, and it's like he describes what he wants and like the bare set that he would like, and then like leaves the rest of it, and like the characters and everything and the world is very developed, of course, but like he leaves the rest of it up and to the audience and to the interpretation, which I really like. But I don't know, I'm loving Angels in America. And I think what I didn't like about what you mentioned in the beginning, what I didn't like about plays initially was that, like, the quality of the writing wasn't there, where, like, when something is on stage, it becomes a much more fleshed out piece. But when you're just reading it, like, the writing itself that I like when I'm reading novels wasn't there. And then this, I think, is just so beautiful. And, like, the dialogue and the writing of the dialogue is equally enjoyable and interesting to read, which I really like.
That's an interesting point, and having to rely so much on dialogue to pull the weight of the piece for the writing quality. I think Glass Menagerie tried to do that. Oftentimes the descriptions of the characters and the side notes were very kind of capital W writerly. But what's even the point of that? You know, maybe it's helpful for the actors reading it or something, but it just all felt like too much for me. And that's kind of funny that you're also reading Angels in America, because it's also one of the, you know, most famous American plays, but it sounds like the two couldn't be more different in style.
Yeah. I think SUNY Purchase, which is like a theater conservatory school, part of their application process, they used to ask you to come in and like do an interview having read Tennessee Williams. And I think it was Glass Menagerie, and like to have a discussion about it as part of your application. And I don't know if they still do that, but it's just interesting. Like, both of these are so, like you said, like American classics and like the plays to read. And so totally different. But I also think, I don't know, I think it really does depend on the play. I have a copy of The Wolves by Sarah Delap, which is, it's like about this group of, it's a high school girls soccer team. And I saw it performed and I loved it. And it's like, everything overlaps. Like, it's a very natural, you know, teenagery conversation. But like, every single line of dialogue is happening while they're kicking a soccer ball or speaking over each other or like shouting, or one line will only be like two words or something. And I didn't love reading that just because like it was hard to follow along with it. But it made me wonder if you think whether plays are easier to access and get into reading because it's just dialogue, or if that makes it harder.
I think that it is easier in some ways, that not everybody can afford to go to the theater. And right. So it's nice that some people can read the plays and do it kind of on their own timeline. I enjoyed like the act of reading this play. I've never had the chance to see Glass Menagerie before, and it's a classic. So I'm glad that that exists. But I think not every play is going to be a good read, clearly. And that's interesting, because that play that you just described sounds really good, and like that kind of action, like the physicality of it, would really add something there. And I could see how it would really be lost when just trying to read it.
Yeah, interesting that like because the physicality is missing, it's harder to read, which shouldn't necessarily involve the physical aspects of it. But it's also like, if you took a normal novel and took out everything except for the dialogue, it would be entirely incomplete, which it's like, it, they really are just, I mean, obviously they're two different things, but it's like you can't translate. I think I like reading plays more now because I've realized that you can't translate like the experience of reading a book into reading a play, and that they just have to exist separately.
Right. I think it's unfair to the play to try to compare. But I did like other things about Glass Menagerie. I tend to like plays, I think, that are like set in one place, somebody's home, maybe, like, you know, only a few characters. And this was that. And there were parts that were really funny. My favorite part was the mom, who was clearly like living in this world of Southern nostalgia. She's obsessed with the idea of her daughter getting a gentleman collar and these kind of old-timey Southern manners. And then when the gentleman collar does finally come, she's wearing like a little girl Southern dress. You know, I just could imagine it very clearly, like curly pigtails and, you know, a lace bib type thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so good. And so I think if the play had just been the stuff at home, rather than all the monologues and the production, I would have liked it a lot more. And also maybe if it had leaned into being a comedy more.
If it was a totally different play.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't hate it. I'm glad that I read it. It wasn't exactly for me, but if I had the chance to go see it, I totally would. I think it would be a completely different experience.
I've definitely, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but a couple years ago I tried reading Arcadia by Tom Stoppard. And it just didn't click or make sense in my brain. And then recently I saw it with my parents, and then since then I've reread it. And like having the physical memory of it to go on totally made it easier and just a better reading experience afterwards, which obviously isn't possible with every play I would like to read, but I think it's interesting like how your opinions would change having read it first, or never seen it, or watched it first and read it second.
Right, because if I saw this play first and all of the stage pizzazz was completely enchanting to me, I'm sure that I would have liked seeing it all written it out mm-hmm. and follow along in that way. And you're right, I think it would have been completely different, and maybe I didn't give it a fair chance at all by doing it this way.
I don't know. I think fair chance is very dependent on, I don't know. I think it's hard to determine what a fair chance is for a book or a play that's meant to be read by everyone and accessible to everybody. But I don't know, maybe you just didn't like it, or maybe it would have changed and you still don't like it even if you had seen it.
Yeah, maybe not, because Tennessee Williams' voice is throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you kind of see him in this character who I didn't like, the narrator, the brother, because it sounded like his voice was the same voice as the stage directions that I didn't like. So maybe I still wouldn't, but I don't want to be completely unfair to it or pick it apart when I haven't seen the show. There were good things, but just probably not for me.
I think it's interesting that you can still see an author's voice even when it's a play, which technically should only be other voices of fictional characters, but, like, you can still hear Tennessee Williams in the stage directions or in the, or, like, if you take the same scene written by two different people, it will be two different scenes, and, like, you'll be able to tell who wrote each one, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't have thought that with a play either, but as I said, it was just so much, there was so much text, and I read the introduction, and he had some notes about the projector and stuff. It was just a lot. Even the set, I kind of love an elaborate set. I think that I can geek out on that, but this one seemed really difficult to construct. It was you were supposed to kind of be looking at the exterior of a building through the back, and then the exterior would just suddenly become transparent. And I don't know how they do that, but maybe it would be really cool theater magic, but it's just all kind of a lot, you know, except for it's few characters, it's in one setting, but everything else is just a lot.
I mean, we've talked about this many times before, but we love setting, and when setting mm-hmm. is a very important, like, presence in the books, and so interesting that you would like, or it makes sense that you don't enjoy that elaborate, like, confusing setting when the setting, I don't know, and because the setting in place is, in, like, so important, because it's, like, one of the only things that you're able to see, but you not liking it is interesting.
I think that I do like it, actually. It just, because I wasn't able to see it, I was kind of, right. like, you know, thinking about the poor theater crew trying to figure out what he means by this, like, semi-invisible set. But it actually is, like, one of my favorite parts of a play. I saw one here in Baltimore that was very local and had, like, such an elaborate set of a row home, which is a very iconic style of home in Baltimore. And they had, like, the whole outside. They had telephone wires. It looked really cool. And I even remember when, like, I think my first Broadway play when I lived in New York was Aladdin. My sister and I won the ticket lottery, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite plays I've ever seen. And I think a big part of that was the sets were just so cool. You know, like, mm-hmm. they moved, they came apart, they were kind of reversible, like, all the pieces moving around. I was really into it. And I think I would be into this if I could see how it actually worked. And but while reading it, it just felt like, okay, Tennessee Williams, you're being extra. Yeah.
Sounds like the takeaway is that we still love setting, and we will always love a good set and a good setting. And my takeaway, I'm only 20 pages in, but I love Angels in America so far, so I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, and for a lighter setting too, but...
All right, we'll be back next week on Buckets of Books.